here. We do some calls, go into a bunch of stories. And we're going to be shifting things over very, very soon to our guest. Hunter Gaylor is joining us next. He is a financial expert. And there was a lot of things that happened yesterday that I would love for him to weigh in on. President Trump cutting major deals yesterday with China. And he's cut several deals throughout his trip to Asia. But China was the big one. So I'm going to have Hunter sound off on that. Plus, I'm also going to ask him about the Fed, who cut rates a quarter point yesterday. That's big, big news, especially for someone who's looking to purchase a home. This is good news for you. So Hunter will be joining us in just about 5 minutes. We'll also be talking more in regards to the criminal elements that we can now look at regarding a lot of things that are coming up in Arctic Frost, where the DOJ could go with that. I also want to talk about, I want to talk about those who lied to the American people. We didn't lie to you. We told the truth about Joe Biden's health. Those who are the experts behind the scenes, where do they land on this accountability tour? So we'll bring in a great legal expert on that front as well in the third hour of the show. So we're excited to have you here. Very excited to have you here. I'm also going to tell you about how a federal judge just shot down the DOJ's attempt to garner some information through a subpoena. And it's all based on President Trump trying to stop all of these transgender healthcare groups. This is a Biden appointee, of course, who just slapped down the queer doc subpoena that went out from the DOJ. And the reason why he did so is very, very interesting. So we look forward to that. We're also going to talk a little bit more about the AutoPen scandal because, folks, these pardons that were shifted out, they were never supposed to happen. Joe Biden really was not even cognitive at the time. He didn't know what they were doing with the auto pen. So where do we go from here? And it's very, very likely that these individuals were selling pardons. So we'll discuss that too in the third hour. If you haven't done so already, we launched Methylene Red this week. It's a big one. It's going crazy right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. If you haven't done so already, grab yourself some Methylene Red. I just took it about an hour ago and I could feel it. More energy, less brain fog. It's an early morning for me. I should take this every single day. In fact, I will. We'll leave it on the desk. Make sure I don't forget this. If you haven't done so already, though, head on over to the store, thealexjonesstore.com. Grab yourself some Methylene Red. You can pair it up with Methylene Blue as well. And we are excited to bring this to you. As many of you guys know, we are MAHA enthusiasts. And so this is just one of the many things that we are bringing to you, our audience, to make sure you could stay in tip-top shape. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab yourself some right now. So a lot happening in the third hour of the show. A lot that we look forward to bringing you, of course. I still can't believe what we reported yesterday about the Biden aide who openly admitted to the committee that he was set to receive a $4 million bonus if he got Biden reelected. No, seriously, this is what's going on. This is all the incentive. Remember they told you that they didn't steal the 2020 election? Well, they had a lot of incentives to do just that. And I wonder how many more people were paid off. I wonder. I want to do some digging into that. I really do. And I'm really fed up with the fact that they don't want us to know about that. They do their very best to suppress that information from coming forward, finding out who else was being paid to push Joe Biden's warm body, nothing else going on up there into the White House again. And here we were, the bunch of the conspiracy theorists that we were, they called us, wondering if they really did steal the 2020 election. I mean, I think that they did. But just asking that question got you called a mean name. But they had all the incentives to do just that. And I bet you there was more payouts as well. Folks, we got a lot to talk about in the third hour of the show. Do not go anywhere. Like I mentioned, we have Hunter Gaylor, who's going to be with us, giving us the breakdown regarding the Fed, who just cut rates a quarter point. Can't wait for him to sound off on just that. Don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. We've been breaking down the headlines for you on this show, but we're in the third hour of the program. And I told you we had some incredible experts that were going to weigh in on all of the very latest, specifically finance, right? Because we know for a fact that now the Fed is reducing and cutting rates. President Trump has been asking for this for a very long time now, but they just announced another one. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But most importantly, President Trump had a very, very impressive trip to Asia over these last few days. He's been getting some very incredible deals negotiated and finalized. But yesterday he met with the CCP leader. Xi Jinping has apparently agreed to several things. And President Trump highlighting this on his Truth Social account hours ago as he makes his way back to the United States. But a couple of those key points that he was highlighting was that apparently the CCP has agreed to purchase massive amounts of soybeans and other products from U.S. farmers. They've also agreed to continue the flow of rare earth minerals and critical minerals and magnets, which is very important, obviously, as well. Now, also, according to the president, China has strongly stated that they will work diligently and make sure that they help prevent the flow of fentanyl into our country. They will help us end this fentanyl crisis. And according to the president, there is potentially a very large-scale transaction happening very, very soon. And this might concern prices. This might consider purchase regarding oil and gas being purchased in the great state of Alaska. So a lot of things being finalized from the president's tour. Joining us now to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He's the founder and managing partner of Spencer Pruitt. He also is a great follow over on X. Give him a follow, Hunter Gaylor. Give him a look. Folks, we're excited to have him on the show today. Hunter, I know you just came back from a trip from China, so this is actually the perfect topic for you, my friends. We wanted to get your input. President Trump announcing some of the details regarding a deal he just apparently got sealed from the CCP leader himself, Xi Jinping. What are some of your thoughts on what's been finalized at this point?
Well, look, first of all, thank you for having me on the program. It's always great to be here and join the war on information, because this is a very important thing. I don't think the American people understand how important this is with what's going on in China and U.S.-China relations. As you said, I just got back from a tour over in Asia where I was working with several of the large manufacturing companies, business leaders, government officials, et cetera, on what this is going to look like from a business perspective. And these are critical decisions that are being made, and they need to be made from a competitive standpoint. And, you know, as we look at what's going on in the marketplace, the thing we have to be aware of from China is a labor force. Okay. They have about 220 million able-bodied men that are working, which is about a third of our population when you think about it. The U.S. is only about 350 million in population. China's in just able-bodied is about 220. And so the fact that China controls 95% of the rare earth, they're now purchasing and doing land banking all across the world. The United States is not. So this is critical that we learn to work with China. We are two superpowers, and two superpowers met and two superpowers shook hands. And so I like seeing Trump do trade deals. I think this is very important. You know, I think the outcome suggests that the talks succeeded and that it's going to lead to greater opportunities here as a consuming market in the United States, and China is a production hub. I was blown away by some of the technology that I saw in China. I can't understate the fact that that America really needs to wake up with the level of engineering and the level of just overall labor force that we have here in the United States. But they are winning the war. I mean, as you see right here, China's the recent article I wrote on LinkedIn that China is winning the resource war. The deal that Trump cut that was very interesting to me was Japan. He met with the Japanese leaders before meeting with Xi Jinping and struck several multi-billion-dollar, $500 billion, $50 billion, $100 billion deals with regards to rare earth because we need it. And one of the interesting things that I want the viewing audience to understand is it's not just about buying the rare earth or saying, hey, from an America First policy perspective, why don't we drill here, drill now, mine here, mine now? But it's the entire supply chain that goes into it, right? You can mine all the rare earth you want, but if you don't have the supply chain to be able to smelter it, refine it, purify it, and then put it into the various components that you need, then we're in a losing battle and it's just a matter of time. One of the interesting things that I noted, Brown, and this is very important, is China is an engineering company, country, if you will. A lot of their leaders come out of engineering backgrounds. Xi Jinping himself, leader Xi, is an engineer. Trump is a businessman. And what I noticed during my time in China from a business perspective is they engineer solutions. And where that is very interesting, and I know this hits home directly with, you know, the family there at InfoWars, America is a very litigious society. We litigate problems, just like what they were doing with InfoWars. They're litigating, litigation, litigation. We're not actually trying to solve problems from an engineering perspective. We just want to go ahead and sue everyone, right? And so this is a very important thing. Trump is cutting deals. He's cutting deals because we need to have a working relationship with China, because if we don't, they will eat our lunch when it comes to manufacturing, because we just do not have the labor pool here. And it's the sad reality, but it is reality nonetheless.
Okay, Hunter, I want to go on the topic of rare earth minerals, because you just cited the deal between the United States and Japan. And I think it's interesting because I think this is a good move where we're pulling our needs for rare earth minerals away from China. Although China is saying that they are going to continue giving it to us. Obviously, this is something that the American people should count as a success, because we're not going to be reliant on China as much if we're getting a good supply from Japan. Weigh in a little bit about that, because the rare earth mineral industry itself is something that we heavily right now rely on China for, given all of the regulations here in the U.S.
Yeah, 100%. And let me even go deeper on that. Forget Japan for a second. We should be cutting deals with everyone. We should be cutting deals with mines in Tanzania. We should be cutting deals with Myanmar. We should be cutting deals with any of the other countries that are mining rare earth minerals. But the fact that we're already striking deals with Japan is a signal that the administration is looking at how to solve the problem, right? And so being able to do that to take away market share from China is a good move. But at the same time, I can't underscore the fact that it's good news, but it's still a reaction to a crisis that China created years ago. So we're in a reactionary phase right now. Are we reacting correctly? Is Trump doing the right thing? Yes, we should be cutting these deals. But at the same time, we should also be, you know, onshoring our supply chain and build it out, not just look at outsourcing the purchasing of this, but actually America is so rich in resources. We are so rich in talent. We are so rich in all of these minerals, but we have to cut through the bureaucratic red tape, and we have to have incentives in place for miners and explorers and refineries and these groups to step in and start doing our own production, while at the same time cutting deals with all of these various countries throughout the Indo-Pacific, through Asia, you know, parts of Africa where rare earth is rampant and abundantly available. But we need to be in there just like China is in there. And when I say China's land banking, you know, they're there literally buying cash on the ground for these rare earth minerals. And the United States is where? And that's a big problem. But the fact that we're cutting these deals with Japan, I mean, right, we're saying it's Japan's Golden Age Alliance. I mean, they just lifted bans on the ban on defense equipment. They declared it a new Golden Age Alliance with the United States. Together, Washington, Tokyo, they're funding new mining projects. They're creating rapid response teams to move critical minerals when emergencies strike. So these are all signs that point to the importance of creating strong relationships. Because at the end of the day, you know, instead of going to war with all these people, right, we should just be cutting deals with these people, right? I mean, as long as everyone's getting paid and we're able to keep food, you know, on the table for our families, that's what we should be doing, but also strengthening our ties. You know, Trump is a businessman. You keep your enemies, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And so the closer that we create these relationships and get intertwined, I think it's a step in the right direction.
Hunter, I'm going to cast a little bit of pessimism onto all of this because we've talked about before in the show in regards to soybeans. I know China in the past has said they were going to purchase more soybeans from us and they haven't met their end of the bargain in all of this. And they tend to steal our technology secrets as well and send their spies to our country. I mean, there's a long list of things you could poke at here. Is there anything that you're seeing right now that makes you confident that they're actually going to honor their end of this agreement?
No, I mean, nothing makes me confident. I mean, it's all in the evidence of the end result. I mean, I can go, you know, shake hands and say that there's a deal and I can, you know, sign in black and blue ink, right, on the contract doesn't mean I'm going to honor it, right? Mm-hmm. So the proof is always in the pudding. So, I mean, look, we had the Chinese spy balloon. We have, you know, Fang, you know, that whole thing with the congressman or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, this is no doubt that they're playing this way. But on the same platitude, I would say from a media perspective and the way that we're witnessing it, you know, there is rights to say we should be concerned, right? We should always have a level of skepticism, but that should be in anything. We shouldn't just say, oh, well, because they said that there's a deal, right? We need to hold them accountable to that deal. It's no different than when you know, we hold Trump accountable, right? Trump comes in, he says, look, I'm going to end the war in 24 hours, and we're still in war, right? Russia and Ukraine are still going on. We have peace talks in Israel, they sign a paper, and then bombings happen again, right? So, you know, rhetoric is one thing, action is another, results of those actions are even yet another thing. So I am in 100% agreeance. I like to try to be as pessimist or as optimistic as I can. I do have a little, you know, kind of masquerade as a pessimist a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, I try to always look for the good in it. Yeah. You know, that's just to help me sleep at night, right? I mean, you know, as to keep my faith in God, you know, I think he's, you know, the best is yet to come in some ways. But I think we still have to be vigilant, right? We can't just say, hold hands and sing kumbaya, Brianna. We have to sit here and say, look, I mean, when the New York Times comes out and they have the headline that says the art of letting Trump claim a win while walking away stronger, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying, hey, look at all of the evidence we have with soybeans. They said they're going to do it, but they're not doing it. Well, where's the accountability process? What is the spanking that China's going to get for not holding up their end of the bargain, right? And so I really think that we need to be looking deeper into the outcomes of these talks as opposed to, okay, UF tariff, delayed import controls without conceding much in return. I mean, you know, this is analysis, right? Yeah. But the meeting just happened. Let's see where we're at 2 weeks from now, right? And hey, does everyone quickly forget in the 24-hour news cycle, you know, what's going on? And so, look, I like to see the deals with Japan. I think that's smart, especially because of what's going on with Russia and their rare earth. And obviously China and their rare earth, they do control a large majority. So like I said, I think it's going to come down to us monitoring the situation, and we have to hold our leaders accountable and we have to hold their leaders accountable. And at some point, Trump's got to lay the pressure down that if it does not come out the way that we have agreed upon and there is a quote unquote breach of contract from a business perspective, right, then there needs to be repercussions. What those repercussions are, I think it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think President Trump's the only one who would actually hold China accountable if they don't meet their end of the bargain. I know the last administration or the regime, whoever was operating things behind the scenes, definitely wouldn't have done just that. So we look forward
to seeing. Well, it's the auto pen. I mean, you know, it's the auto pen. I mean, you look at everything. You cover this on your show all the time. How many of those trade deals that we did with Biden and China was the auto pen? I mean, how many of the deep state and these liberal Democrats that are in Washington that are causing massive economic turmoil with these government shutdowns and all of these other things are affecting how it works for we, the American people. So, you know, from a globalist perspective, I see what's going on, right? I mean, this is a dire fight for, you know, protecting, you know, we, the American, you know, idea and the American experiment. But, you know, from America First perspective, you know, Trump can cut deals all he wants. It's going to be what is the result of those deals?
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to keep our eye on that because I think that's really important to follow through with it. Hunter, I also wanted to mention something else that happened. The Federal Open Market Committee cut interest rates by 0.25 as anticipated. Now, yesterday, Jerome Powell was speaking about that and elaborated a little bit on that decision. Let's take a listen.
There is no risk-free path for policy as we navigate this tension between our employment and inflation goals. Our framework calls for us to take a balanced approach in promoting both sides of our dual mandate. With downside risks to employment having increased in recent months, the balance of risks has shifted. Accordingly, we judged it appropriate at this meeting to take another step toward a more neutral policy stance.
Okay, do you think that this is really the reason why they decided to cut rates, or do you think it's because President Trump has really been holding their feet to the fire on this issue?
Yeah, I think Trump needs to fire the guy, right? Fire the guy, audit the Fed. I mean, I hate to put those talking points in there, but we haven't had it happen. They need to fire him. Look, the 30-year fixed mortgage rate, it fell to 6.3% for the week ending in October this week, right? And although mortgage rates are now at their lowest level, and they're looking at this from a home buying perspective since 2024, the average rate for a 30-year fixed rate is still significantly higher compared to the, you know, minus 3% levels near the start of the pandemic. So, you know, are we moving in the right direction? Yes, inch by inch, centimeter by centimeter. But, you know, still, I think we need massive overhaul within the Fed. Remember, the Fed's always operated as an independent entity. And we always know that that's been a criminal activity since they, you know, the creature from Jekyll Island. Dare we get into that? But, you know, at the end of the day, the problem is here's a guy that you saw, and we talked about this last time, you know, mm-hmm. Trump had to come in and tell him, this is what we need to do. This is why we need to do it. You know, I don't know what Powell's background is, but I don't see him building skyscrapers and actually understanding how to use interest rates to his advantage, right? Or understand the tax code to his advantage. And so he's making decisions that are affecting the everyday people. Right. Yeah. This is the perfect clip right here. He's like, no, this is how much it is. Trump is showing him and asserting his dominance to say, look, this is based action from Trump. I love it. Yeah. I think he needs to fire him. I mean, look, another little point cut. This is ridiculous. Right. It's good. Don't get me wrong. A cut's a cut. But I mean, can we do more? Yes. Should we do more? Yes. And we're coming into the midterms. So I think we need to even pound this issue even harder. There's no reason interest rates should be this high. Granted, we look at inflation, the printing of money, and obviously we're seeing these circling kind of the wagon with regards to crypto and Bitcoin and what they're talking about now with America holding Bitcoin and what that whole conversation could be about in eliminating the debt. So we are listening to those conversations. But as far as Powell is concerned, I don't like him. I've never liked him. I don't ever think he's been qualified for this position. I don't ever think he's held Trump in high regards, or let alone the constituency and the supporters of Trump. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't like him. You know, yeah, is it a dark historic move with no job data and Trump heckling from abroad? Brianna, I don't like the guy. They need to fire him, and they need to do an overhaul, and they need to bring someone in that understands capital markets. They need to bring someone in that understands they'll work with the administration to at least ease the pain on the American taxpayer.
Yeah, yeah. None of that needs to happen. I know President Trump spoke about it also earlier this week. Jerome Powell's days are numbered. He's got a couple more months left in that position. And I know President Trump looks forward to getting rid of him, but this is costing American taxpayers too much money when he sits here and delays these cuts. It costs us a ton of money that it shouldn't be costing us in the first place. But he's not working for the American people. He's working for the globalists, the big bankers, and all of that. So we'll keep watching, Hunter.
We never voted for him.
I know.
Right? That's what I say. I never once colored in a circle or checked a box that says, here's who I want for the Fed chair. Never once, you know, and that's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why so many people are calling to just abolish the Fed completely, because they've had enough of all of this. That's a whole nother discussion, though, Hunter, a whole nother discussion.
We can get into that.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it as always. Hunter, thank you for joining the show. Well, I always learn something great from Hunter, so we're grateful for that. And I appreciate you jumping on with us today. Folks, we're keeping our eyes on several topics. And I mean, this one is infuriating. You know, President Trump is really trying his very best through executive orders to fight back on the war that these big pharmaceutical companies, mostly the medical fields, who are trying to profit off of going after children. And they say gender dysphoria That's what they call it. But the reality is they are trying their very best to chop up the reproductive parts of children all around this country. And President Trump is trying to put an end to that. But sadly, a judge just stepped in, and the details behind all of this are pretty disgusting in itself. The DOJ issued a subpoena to this company that does like remote healthcare services, it sounds like, just based on what I've read into. It's called QueerDoc. Again, that just lets you know everything you need to know. And the DOJ tried its very best to subpoena this online transgender healthcare provider. But a judge, of course, a judge just shut down that subpoena. That judge's name is U.S. Judge Jamal Whitehead. Now, he is sitting there and pretty much just saying that they don't have the authority to submit a subpoena, saying it's not tied to a valid law enforcement probe, that subpoena. And so he shut down the DOJ's efforts yesterday to be able to carry through that subpoena. Whitehead stated that the subpoena clearly aims to further President Trump's objective of eliminating services for those with gender dysphoria. It's not a thing. These people are sick. They are preying upon children who just need a little help. They've been brainwashed. They've been absolutely brainwashed, and they're doing their very best to go out there and to prey upon these children, to brainwash them, to thinking that they actually need this. So it's just so enraging. Oh, folks, I wanted to point your attention to this too. I don't know if you guys saw. If you guys, make sure you follow Alex on X. If you don't, though, I don't know why you don't, but make sure you do so. On his X account yesterday, he was asking you all to reply with a local design for the new Alex Jones Network and AJN Live. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you head on over to his Twitter page and drop a comment, because he's looking for your input in all of this. I know one of my friends actually gave him the idea, and it's on the tweet as I was scrolling through. It kind of looks like a CNN logo, and I know that's what he was going for here. So if you haven't done so already, make sure you do just that. Head on over to Alex Jones's Twitter page and drop whatever you think might be a great logo in the replies. We look forward to seeing what you guys are working on. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over as well to the alexjonesstore.com. If you haven't done that already, we just got methylene red this week, and I have taken my methylene red this morning. And, I'm not having so much brain fog these days. So if you haven't done so already, snag some as well over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. While supplies last, we've got it up and running. It's great to pair with methylene blue as well. And it's quite tasty. This is now a sour strawberry flavored brand of this. So head on over to the shop. Again, folks, if you're someone who's looking to get rid of your brain fog, these two together are going to do you wonders. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And if you haven't done so already, I don't know what you're waiting on, but we launched last week the Android version of the new app. So make sure you download that as well, thealexjonesapp.com. It's actually alexjonesapp.com. No the there. I keep doing that. Don't let me lie to you. It's alexjonesapp.com. One day I'll get it together. One day. Don't listen to me though. Watch what you see on your screen there. Head on over, download the app, and you can do it both for Android and Apple. That's the good news. All right, we got a lot more heading your way. We're going to bring in our legal expert to ask a lot of questions regarding both the information we're learning from the Arctic Frost document dump, a lot there, plus Joe Biden's doctors. They lied to the American people and pretend like he was A-okay and no issues there. Well, now we've got more proof that they were lying this whole time. So what can be done from a legal standpoint? We're going to ask just that. I'm also going to be asking about, the individual who was supposed to receive a $4 million bonus if he was able to get Biden reelected. So a lot happening in the next portion of the show. Don't go anywhere.
What out there could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it? So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle, because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the methylene blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus. It is so amazing. And it works with methylene blue. And it works without it. And unlike ultramethylene blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain other medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge, huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Final lap of the third hour. Excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on all around the world, a lot of corruption being exposed. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Man, we've been talking about this Art of Frost stuff. More documents have been dropped. We're talking like hundreds and hundreds. Chuck Grassley's office yesterday released over 1,700 pages. Yeah, you heard that, right? It's all subpoenas. It's all the people that they were targeting. The list just goes on. It's actually quite the interesting list. The Biden regime's DOJ issued about 197 subpoenas, and they targeted about 430 Republicans, as well as entities, as well as individuals as well. And everyone's really upset about this. They're really, really upset about this. Obviously, rightfully so. This shouldn't have happened in the first place. But again, this happened under Barack Obama, and nothing happened when he went after and targeted journalists, when they went after the Tea Party. No one cared enough to actually do something to hold them accountable. So, of course, the issue got worse. And now we're starting to understand a little bit of that. Groups that were targeted in Arctic Frost: the RNC, the Conservative Partnership Institute, Save America PAC, America First Policy, America First as well. And MyPillow. Now, what the heck did they want from Mike Lindell? Oh, they probably didn't like the fact that Mike was holding election fraud summits. That probably really ticked them off. And it's crazy because America First Legal is also in all of this. And interesting enough, they weren't around on January 6, 2021. So what the heck was the Biden regime looking for? Probably trying to go after Stephen Miller, so that's his group. And they don't like the fact that he was legally challenging them on so much and trying to hold them accountable. Now, Senator Ted Cruz is fired up on the issue, and he's not happy because obviously Judge Boasberg went after him specifically, allowing and hiding the fact that the DOJ was trying to subpoena his personal records, his phone records. Take a listen to clip 25, because now, of course, he's calling for the impeachment of that judge.
I am right now calling on the House of Representatives to impeach Judge Boasberg. Judge Boasberg put his robe down, stood up and said, sign me up to be part of the partisan vendetta against 20% of the Republicans in the Senate. That is a dereliction of duty and a violation of the judicial oath. And I want to thank Chairman Grassley and Chairman Johnson for pursuing this tenaciously like a dog on a bone. We are going to get the answers of every person who signed off on this abuse of power. And mark my words, there will be accountability for these zealots who wanted to corrupt the Department of Justice and corrupt the judiciary in order to try to attack their enemies list.
Those are some strongly worded threats. We'll see if they actually do hold these individuals accountable. Joining me to discuss is Robert Govea. He is a criminal defense attorney. He hosts a great show. It's called Spotlight of Justice. It's available on Rumble at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So head on over to his Rumble page and give him a follow as well. Robert joins us to help understand this plus more. So it's an honor to have you on the show, Robert, and congratulations. I see you just got a brand new ring. You had a wedding recently, and it's an honor to have you on the show today. So congratulations, my friend. That was very exciting news to see on X.
Thank you very much, Brianna. Very nice to be with you. And thank you for the love. We're very excited about it. And this document drop was a very nice wedding gift because it was very enjoyable to go through all of this because we've known about a lot of the corruption for a long time, but now we get to see it in writing. And I've not seen the senators as upset as they've been recently. And I think rightfully so. I mean, Ted Cruz, as he was explaining, was one of the guys who was attempted to be spied on. There were 8 senators total who had their documents basically subpoenaed by Jack Smith and his group of criminals, in my opinion. And they're very unhappy about it, and rightfully so. And what you mentioned, which was this huge tranche of documents, 197 subpoenas, 400 plus Republicans, is really just, I think, the tip of the iceberg, because we also had yesterday another major drop from the House Judiciary Committee. So we've got these 2 separate committees that are just dropping these documents out everywhere. And we also see, in addition to what Jack Smith, what these Arctic Frost FBI agents were doing, and Arctic Frost, for a little background, was the original FBI investigation into President Trump. And it was concocted by very anti-Trump FBI agents, including one guy called Timothy Tebow that we've heard a lot about, who had just posted very anti-Trump messages on Facebook, got in trouble with the Hatch Act for getting involved in politics. And it was a huge, huge scandal. And then as soon as Jack Smith got appointed, they handed him all these documents. And remember, Jack was supposed to be this individual who was independent and a special counsel and separated out from the Biden DOJ so that there was some modicum of independence and, you know, impartiality in the investigation. And it turns out it wasn't. He didn't really do anything. He just inherited this case from the FBI and then took it and ran with it. And there was a massive dragnet over huge portions of the Republican Party. But that's only one half of the coin, because the House Judiciary Committee also dropped some other documents yesterday that are showing very, very clear collusion between Jack Smith and the January 6th Select Committee, which, as many people know, was illegally constituted. If you look at their own House rules, H.R. 503, they had to have many more members on that committee, 5 of whom were, which should have been appointed by the Republicans, and they never were. And so this 197 subpoenas, which we saw from Grassley, was over 1,700 pages yesterday, just massive amounts of energy, massive amounts of money, all going in. But in conjunction with that, we also had the January 6th committee that was also, if we recall, sending letters out. Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney, sending letters to everybody demanding information on the power of Congress. OK, so kind of a separate entity. One is taking place in the judiciary, which is getting rubber stamped by partisan judges like Judge James Boasberg. And then simultaneously, Jack is also in the documents receiving on a rolling basis disclosure from the January 6th committee. And the whole what's so sick about that is that there was no judicial oversight over what Congress was doing. They just formed this committee. They sent a bunch of subpoenas out. And then guys like Steve Bannon or Peter Navarro, who were objecting to that, saying we've got executive privilege, they were put in prison. They were arrested and locked up for this. But the sickness of it is that they were handing everything over to Jack and basically giving him materials that he couldn't get on his own. And so I think the rabbit hole on this just is going to go deeper and deeper as more of these documents come out. And we all knew this when we were covering the cases and the prosecutions, asking ourselves, where did Jack Smith get these materials? And turns out it was being hand-delivered by the January 6th Select Committee. So the senators are furious about it, rightfully so. They got spied on. And as you mentioned, there was this dragnet to go after and just basically take out the Republican Party because they hated President Trump. And so it was very exciting to see the senators, you know, come together and demand more hearings, demand impeachments. And even Lindsey Graham was out yesterday talking about how people should be in jail. So there's a lot going on there. And we're happy to see some developments in this one particular case that has been kind of under the radar for a long time.
Yeah. And Robert, I kind of want to feed back a little bit on that, too, in regards to how they were obtaining records. You know, we saw our own Alex Jones's name pop up in these document dumps that came out earlier this week. And it's quite strange when you look at the line. It comes from according to this document, and we don't know much in this front. So I want to just make that very clear. We don't know exactly what was sent over, but there seems to be an attorney who has been heavily involved in going after InfoWars with the civil lawsuit and other individuals here at InfoWars as well. His name appears, and it looks to like an RE's there, so it looks like it's a forwarded or a responded email. It says Alex Jones' cell phone. Now, just some background, because again, I'm reaching out to sources to see what specifically this is, so you could give our audience some context here. We don't know yet, but we have people who are going to be digging up into all of this for us, so we're thankful for that. But I want to highlight the fact that they tried to gain access to Alex Jones' cell phone records, and they tried to challenge that, and Alex fought back, and he won in court. So if this is, in fact, his cell phone records, which were shot down originally, this is deeply concerning, especially because Alex has sources he's talking to, and he wants to protect those sources, and he wouldn't want the government anywhere near his cell phone records as a journalist, as someone who's constantly speaking to individuals. So that's concerning in itself. And then we also see that America First Legal was a part of all of this as well. They were being targeted as well. But the interesting part here, and I kind of want to hear maybe your perspective as to what this might be about. America First Legal, which is ran by Stephen Miller. I don't know if he's actually running the show anymore now that he's over at the White House, but he started America First Legal, but it wasn't around on January 6, 2021. So now they're going after their records and they're trying to get them wrapped up into all of this. We have to wonder, why would they go after America First Legal when it was never even a thing at the time of January 6, 2021? So what can we all speculate about all of that?
Well, I think it is a very organized attempt to take out the most effective people on our side of the aisle. They went after lawyers. Remember, they went after doctors. There was an entire project called the 65 Project that if you were advocating on behalf of Trump or questioning the 2020 litigation, they wanted to take your law licenses away. I mean, they wanted to just sideline everybody. And even in the documents yesterday, Alex Jones's name pops up. There was a subpoena that went out to Event Strategies, which was another organization. And in that subpoena, they're saying, did you guys talk to this big, long list of people? Everybody's on there, Roger Stone, a bunch of people. And of course, Alex Jones is in there. So from our perspective, they were trying to just follow a trail, right? Follow a path. And if they could go into Event Strategies and somebody would have texted Alex or somebody, it would have been some communication there, then boom, that opens the door. And they've got cause now to say, well, let's go find out more about Alex Jones and Stephen Miller and everybody else who was a threat to them. And it, I think, was top to bottom. And it was a full infrastructure attack to go after everybody. I mean, if anybody who was effective in nonprofits, politicians, as we can see, were not even immune from this. They went after 8 senators and a House representative, as far as we know. And I think the list is probably much longer than that. And it was just a free for all. The analogy we use is kind of like a Black Friday sale at a Walmart when everybody's running out with TVs. They all thought that they could get away with it. And they may have, right, if the election would have gone differently. But it was an attempt to sideline the most effective people. And you have to think about the opportunity cost on this as well. I mean, we have an election coming up, and Trump now had to defend himself, as did many of his deputies and closest allies, in many criminal cases all across the country. We had people like Jeffrey Clark and others who had to defend against attacks on their law license. They still have to defend that right now, just because they were representing their client in the court of law, not doing anything illegal. We've had alternate electors many times in American history, and they were just pursuing that claim. And senators have an obligation, really, to investigate those claims, because they're going to be the ones who are going to certify the election in Congress. And so they were just so petrified that they were rigging all of the institutions, the DOJ, the FBI, the White House. I mean, from the top, Merrick Garland knew that Jack Smith was not lawfully appointed. We played a clip yesterday of this where he said, I know he was never appointed by the president. He was never confirmed by the Senate. But Jack Smith inherited the Arctic Frost investigation and went hog wild. I mean, you can just see it in the amount of legal work that we have right now. Just gobs of attorneys and millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars were spent to take out Trump, to take out Bannon, to take out all of the 19 co-defendants in the Fannie Willis RICO case that happened in Georgia. And those people, if they're defending themselves in a court of law, if they're hiring lawyers, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, then that money is not being effective in the campaign, right? Trump had to go sit in Alvin Bragg's courtroom for weeks in the middle of a campaign and spend millions of dollars to defend himself. All of that is an opportunity cost that he couldn't invest in campaigning, or that his allies couldn't focus on, you know, the next round, the next election, because they're too busy trying to keep themselves out of jail because they're being prosecuted by hack partisan individuals like Timothy Tebow, Jack Smith, and his whole entourage of people. Like this guy, Jay Bratt, who was on Jack Smith's team, was trying to encourage a defendant to flip by promising his attorney a judgeship position. Like, you know, hey, Stanley Woodward, if your client flips on Trump, we'll elevate you to a judge. And just using all sorts of extremely unethical behaviors to take out their opponents, because from their perspective, as long as they could get out the door with this and get Kamala or Biden reelected, they'd be off scot-free. And it was a long, long game attack. Fortunately, they failed. And now we're getting to see just how deep it was and how many people were in the orbit, but ultimately, you know, maybe didn't get charged, but they were certainly under investigation.
Yeah. And they went after everyone. I mean, the attorneys that were involved in a lot of these cases, they went after them, people who were working for the attorneys. We saw Bernard Carrick's name get dropped, and he was working with Giuliani at the time as well, challenging the elections legally. So we know that they were going after everyone. And, you know, you mentioned Fulton County, too. I remind our audience that we have the logs that prove that the prosecutors in Fulton County who were going after the president, Fannie Willis and her boyfriend, there was meetings at the White House, with the Biden White House. And so this was all well orchestrated. And I'm sure, and I would love to find out who was in on those meetings, because again, although they claim that this was all separate, it's very, very clear that these were all individuals working together based on the evidence that we've seen this far. And so I think it's interesting to follow through and to see what was actually happening when these individuals were making their way into the White House. And also, if you live in Georgia and you're a taxpayer, Nathan Wade did bill you for those visits as well. So this is something that should be concerning for all involved. I want to shift gears a little bit, though, to clip 26, because Dr. O'Connor is the individual who was representing or was Joe Biden's doctor. And he's being called into question here because obviously he was lying to the American people. To say he's misleading is being very nice. And I see that the media is saying that he was misleading the American people. No, he's lying to the American people, in my opinion, because there's no way that all of a sudden Joe Biden randomly got prostate cancer. And they just discovered this just days after leaving the White House. This is something that's been ongoing, it looks, in my opinion, to be. And there needs to be something that happens here. So I want to play clip 26 because this is what he was telling the committees during his interview. Take a listen.
Dr. O'Connor, were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
On the advice of counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. I am not a lawyer. I must follow my lawyer's advice in this matter.
Let the record reflect that Dr. O'Connor has invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Dr. O'Connor, please be very clear. Are you declining to answer the question put to you solely on the ground that you believe the answer will incriminate you?
On the advice of counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon the physician's patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Okay, so obviously he's doing this because there's something to cover up here. I mean, that's what I could insinuate. I could assume at this point now that he's refusing to speak up. As an attorney, is it fair to say that he might be covering up something or might be in fear of something coming out? Because I see that now there's a push by Congressman James Comer to potentially have his medical license revoked.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of indicia that they're not being honest with us. Now, I'm a defense attorney, and I very much appreciate the right to remain silent, and you invoke those when you don't want to incriminate yourself. But these are pretty basic questions. I don't know why he couldn't have just said, no, of course not. Nobody told me to lie. It's obvious nobody would ask the doctor of the president to lie about the president's condition. And so when he comes out and he's so coy about this, and they're not forthcoming, I mean, these people are having to be dragged into Congress to just explain what they did while they were operating at the White House. And they're supposed to be public servants. You know, they're not gang members who are under, you know, investigation, who have to arm up because they committed a bunch of crimes that they know they committed. And so they invoke the right to remain silent to protect themselves. But these are public servants. And these are pretty basic questions about whether you were asked to lie by Jill Biden or Anthony Bernal or any of these people. And they just can't be open and forthcoming about it. And there were many other clips that were also outstanding. I mean, there was another guy, Ken Donilon, who was the senior advisor to Joe Biden's political campaign. And we start to ask ourselves about, are there any other factors that might cause them to suddenly forget or to want to be so quiet about this? But this was a senior advisor. He got paid $4 million to come on to the Biden campaign. And they said they gave him a contingency bonus, basically. If Joe Biden were to win the election, he'd get another $4 million. So there's 4 million reasons why they suddenly forget things and why they suddenly are arming up, invoking their right to remain silent when they're public servants, and they should just be out being open and forthcoming. And if they did nothing wrong, of course, be transparent about that. But for whatever reason, there's a pattern that just continues on, and that's the guy right there. And they don't want to answer any questions about it for whatever reason. I think we know the reason is because they were implicit and involved in the cover up. And Ian Sams was the other guy. We remember him all over the place. Mm-hmm. The guy with glasses and bald. He was the White House spokesman, and he was out every day. It was annoying to listen to this guy constantly saying Joe Biden's amazing. He's doing backflips and he can do multiplication tables and all the things. You're going, come on, man. We can all see it. He came out, and in his interview, he said he met with Joe a handful of times. And one of those times was a Zoom meeting, I think. He's like, no, I was in the meeting on the Zoom call. And you go, come on, man, you're not interfacing with this person. So don't come out and sell us a bill of goods that is just not true. And we can all see it on its face. But if there's financial incentives, if there's licensing incentives, then you can understand why they are hardening up and putting up this force field against any oversight, any questions when they were running the White House. It's a pretty sick state of affairs. We're just trying to get answers on who is running the country, and the people who allegedly are public servants won't help out with that at all.
Yeah, well, I think it highlights that there's a massive cover up here, and it's probably in regards to who was utilizing the auto pen. I'm going to play clip 28 for you, because when they were grilled on this, all of them were dodging the bullet of answering this question. Take a listen.
Do you know who the people who were actually operated the auto pen were?
I do not.
Do you know any of the actual staff who were using the auto pen?
No.
You don't know their names?
No.
Have you never seen a decision memo laying out the breakdown of when the president should hand sign a particular set of documents?
Not prior to prep.
Did he hand sign all executive orders?
He did not. He hand signed many executive orders, but he did not hand sign all executive orders.
Can you read your response?
I approve the use of the auto pen for the execution of all the following pardons. Thanks, Jay-Z.
Did you yourself write this email?
I do not believe I did.
All right. So it's interesting to hear their perspective in all of this. As an attorney, are any of these pardons going to hold up if it's proven that auto pen was used without president or so-called President Joe Biden's authority?
I don't think they should unless there is a very clear chain of custody that shows that the power came from Joe Biden and the approval was then passed down to authorize the use of the auto pen. This is called chain of custody. And in criminal law, we're talking about criminal pardons here. It's a very important concept. And if you don't have good chain of custody, your whole case essentially gets dismissed. And one example on this is a DUI case, right? People get DUIs all the time. They are arrested. They have a sample of blood drawn from their bodies. And when that sample is transported and impounded and withdrawn for testing, they document where it went. It goes from officer A to B to C to D to E. Then the lab tech gets it and then tests it, marks it up, and puts it back in. So you can follow the bouncing ball and exactly where the item was. And the same concept should apply to Joe Biden's pardon power. And what we have seen thus far is that it did not happen. Apparently, everybody was just kind of sending emails. And we saw Jeff Zients, and this has happened also with James Clapper, is they'll use their assistants to send the approval emails. And then everybody's just talking about in abstract terms about approval, but nobody can tie it directly back to Joe Biden's authority. And if that can't be done, then my argument would be just like in a DUI case or just like any other criminal case, the results should be dismissed. They shouldn't be considered because they're not validated. You can't tie it back to the root power. And in these cases, I think that it is up to the people who are claiming they have these auto pen pardons, and there's a bunch of them. It's the J6 committee, some of Joe Biden's family, Fauci, I think, is on that list. They can be the ones who argue that they're actually valid. And remember, we saw a lot of this. Trump, when he was prosecuted, many of us made the argument, he's got presidential immunity. You can't prosecute him. Literally, you can't. The Constitution gives him powers to do certain things. He did the certain things, and they didn't care. Yeah. They made him go to court. They prosecuted him four times. They made him be dragged in there and file the motions, actually take the case all the way up to the Supreme Court to argue that he did have presidential immunity. And they ultimately found that, right? They came back down and said, yep, you've got immunity. And so Chutkan had to dismiss her case. Jack Smith's case also went away. So if we have this requirement that the president has to appear in court and defend himself, I think that same pattern and practice should be applicable to these people with pardons. Yeah. They can come into court. You charge them with the crimes that they committed, that the pardons were meant to cover up. And if they want to make the argument that they're valid, they can go into court and do what Trump did and present evidence that there is a valid chain of custody that connects their fake auto pen pardon back to Joe Biden. Elsewise, it's not valid, in my opinion, and the trial should proceed forward and we should see what a jury says about it with the facts of the case.
1,000%, Robert. We look forward to doing that. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time as always and all of your insight. We are grateful for that. So thank you, Robert, for being here.
Thank you, Brianna.
Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Red is up for sale right this second. Alex Jones is up next on the Alex Jones Store show. Don't go anywhere.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
Methylene Blue.
I have shared the Methylene Blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the Methylene Blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it, and now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the M4's audience just buys Methylene Blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart. Other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is, you know, I can go, I don't have to
have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Big Lee came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Big Lee. They work with some of the biggest, some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country. And what I've been able to do with them is really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Big Lee.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the AlexJonesStore.com today. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.